right, this is a groove rolling along. First hour in the books. Kansas City's not a one-team town. Oh, this is a good one, yeah.
You don't believe it?
I remember it.
Just look around. Listen to what the people say. They're excited to get out to the K. The Royals plan to play deep into fall. The boys are playing some ball. Bobby Baseball.
This is the one that Channel 9, I believe, did a story on, right? Is that the genesis of this one?
I think that's the one, right?
Yeah.
This.
Like, you got to play this.
Genesis, or is it?
It is. Okay. Yeah, yes. Yes.
By the way, guys, I apologize. I want to come out and say it because I'm a man of the people from the 816. Hey, Dusty, quit talking over Mac. Mac, I apologize.
Seriously, man. I mean, I was getting ticked.
And then the follow-up is, this isn't the Dusty show. God, Dusty, you keep interrupting everybody. So I apologize. Guys, go ahead and take the floor.
Okay. Mac, what did you get talked over that you need to say?
Yeah, I don't
You got
know.
Some hot take about some analytic you saw last night in a football game you want to get off your chest? I want to get off a hot analytic for you right now. I was listening to our sister station, WFAN, in New York to get the Yankee perspective of things yesterday, and they rolled out this stat that going into last night's game, in the postseason, the Yankees are 26-8 in games called by Bob Costas in the postseason, right? So I got a friend of mine, Evan, who, you know, was a Bob Costas stalker back in the day and is friends with Bob, right? So he forwards him my message, and Bob immediately responds back, the Yankees are also 7-0 in series that I call in the postseason. So
he knows.
Not that has an impact on what's going to happen, but Bob Costas seemingly is good luck. They're now 26-9 after last night's loss, but the series is still very much up for grabs. And I think it's going to go game five because that's me, conspiracy theory guy. You know, they want the Yankees around as long as they possibly can have the Yankees around and kind of milk that that ratings machine, if you will, for Major League Baseball. So I think it's probably going to go five games.
I
and boys, Saturday night, everybody's going to be sweating that thing out, right? Like you're sweating to the oldies. You're going to be sweating to the baseball game on I think it's like an 8 o'clock started Saturday night too, so people be all lubed up and ready to go.
Well, and to piggyback on you, I mean, the MLB hasn't really gotten, like, yeah, the ratings, I'm sure, have been okay these first two games, and yeah, five games going to up the ratings, but also, like, the MVP Judge Witt thing hasn't really happened yet.
No,
they need that to materialize
right.
A little bit.
They do. Like this is baseball's biggest showcase right now. Two of the biggest stars in the game are going head-to-head, and neither of them have done anything. Like, how many hits combined? One.
I think they're one for like close to 20 in the series.
Yeah, so Judge and Bobby would have combined for one hit in this entire series. Like, that's not what Major League Baseball signed up for. So they need to get both of those guys going. They probably need a game five. I know the networks, obviously, with Costas's call last night on the double play, clearly want the Yankees to win this thing. So I would imagine that, you know, we're probably going to get a fifth game. Again, that's me with the script and the conspiracy theory. We're also coming here, you know, next two nights and win this damn thing. And I'd love to be there on Thursday night, taking the kiddos on Thursday night. The last time they went to a playoff game, they were 3-4. Now they're 13-14 and a little bit different world for them as well. I hope that they can clinch on Thursday night so the kiddos can be a part of that and see that here in Kansas City, because I think that'll be a moment they'll never, ever forget. That's a special moment, man, when you can clinch in your home ballpark. There's nothing better than winning at home. You know, winning on the road, fine, but clinching this thing at your home ballpark with your fans, gonna be epic, hopefully, on Thursday night.
913-586-7965. We want to hear from you because I want to know, and Bob and Mac also want to know, what you did last night, how you intook, and not a word, but
intook,
how
intook, I like
you
know, it.
How you intook all this action. Go to Double J real quick in Kansas City. Go ahead, Double J. How'd you do last night?
Hey, just watched the game at home, watched the Chiefs game on the patio, watched the Royals game on the big screen inside. What a win by both teams. It was one of my favorite parts of both games last night was Salvi hated that home run, and Kareem Hunt tasting the nectar at the end zone for the first time in a long time.
Double J,
thanks for the call.
It was good. I mean, like, Kareem Hunt looked good last night, right? Like, the dude ran hard, man.
It's like 2018 all over again.
It did. It was a lot of fun. Like, I keep saying, alumni night at Arrowhead Stadium last night,
they
right?
This magical play.
I'm shaking my head because I told him before the play, I said, I'm going to throw it to you so we can get in field goal range. And he underhand shoveled it across the entire field. So, I mean, it's like... It's like I'm talking to like Sterling. So it was that's Travis, man. He's a special player, and as long as he does it and it works, man, no one's gonna say anything.
Special teams, special plays, special players.
We go to Patrick Adam. Shouted at his daughter a lot last night, and, you know?
Yeah, gave her a lot of love. We go to Adam. How'd you intake the game last night, sir?
Yeah, so I watched the game on my back porch. I had the Chiefs pull up on my phone. And I think it's going to be rigged for the Yankees. I can't lie.
I don't know what he's saying right now.
Thanks to the phone call. He said he can't root for that. I don't know. Something about the Yankees. Watching the game on the patio.
Watching the Chiefs game on his phone, though. I think most people were probably flipped around. I saw a lot of people sending me photos last night of kind of their setup. Chiefs on the huge screen, Royals on a littler screen. Uh-huh. I got two that are the same size, so it was just, you know, put them both up and, you know, kind of flip back and forth and watch it that way. But, you know, I loved everybody's setups last night, seeing what they were doing for the game, how many people were watching at the game and, you know, that kind of stuff as well. So, fun stuff.
From the 75, rumor is MLB is changing the rules for Game 3. Judge and Bobby Wood Jr. must hit off a tee so they can push the MVP candidates and limit the pays.
Like the Savannah Bananas would do that, right? They would roll out there and place a tee down for Judge and Bobby Witt. Like, you got to now at this point, right? Like, both of those guys, the offer, the whiff, the strikeout, the like, what are you doing out here? You're the MVP candidates.
From the 913, went to my son's house. He had two TVs set up, and my grandsons both stayed up to finish the games. Special times with the family. That's what last night was all about, man. Yeah,
exactly.
Last night was KC, fandom, family, everything, all in one sort of just absolute magical night.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because you're a little bit different if one team wins and the other team loses, but that didn't happen.
Had
both
the Chiefs
teams
lost last night, we'd still be excited today because the Royals won. And ultimately, that's what matters, you know, like winning these games. Like the Chiefs sitting at 5-0 is still just remarkable because nothing has really gone right for them this year, and they continue to find ways to win. Like, you know, we always do the, if I would have told you your top two wide receivers, your left tackle, your starting running back were non-existent this year because of injury, and your tight end missed the first two games, or, you know, whatever you want to say, because, you know, he wasn't getting involved in the offense, and the Chiefs are 5-0 with a negative turnover margin, you don't believe this kind of stuff.
Beating the Bengals, the Ravens, teams.
I just think at times like this, we spend way too much time worrying about what could have been, and people are trying to find out why the Chiefs are dominating and all this kind of nonsense. They are dominating. They're 5-0. They covered the spread last night. Let's give them a round of applause for that. 26 points. You get 26 cents off a gallon at Hy-Vee today when you spend $26 or more. I'm going for my gas points today. And so you get that opportunity. Like, I think we're missing at times the boat with this Chiefs football team. People don't understand how hard it is at times when, and I'm talking about these national announcers too. I was going, oh my God, something's wrong with the Chiefs. No, it's hard to win games in the NFL. And the Chiefs are doing it with a negative turnover differential, and they made the Saints irrelevant last night. Other than the uniforms for the Saints, that was the only good thing that happened for them last night. Well, Colin Saunders running that thing back was fun, but
all in the family. Colin Saunders' brother, Taylor Swift's number one dancer. Yeah. Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, his wife, his kids getting the shout out on the air.
But it was cool.
Was there like a 1% of you that was like a little happy when Saunders?
Until afterwards, it didn't mean anything.
No. Yeah. After the game was over, okay, that was cool. But then the moment, no, I don't root for former players. You left, pal. Kick rocks.
Why don't you ask
that? He did not leave.
Yeah, no.
He did so. He went to New Orleans.
Yeah, but he wanted to be re-signed here. He didn't get re-signed.
I mean, we all want things in life. You know,
yeah.
Either way, you could ask Danon Hughes that question if he felt good for Colin Saunders on that pick. Because Danon Hughes will join us on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty,
I can feel it all the way down in my plums
on Kansas City's FM sports station 96.5 The Fan.
10th play of the drive. The Chiefs have first down and goal to go at the 5-yard line of New Orleans, digging in against this number one red zone defense. Given off to Kareem Hunt, following his blockers, he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. The middle again, blown wide open, and the Chiefs score on their first offensive drive of the game.
There was Kareem Hunt finding the sweet nectars of the end zone once again in Kansas City, which I bet a lot of people had that prop bet checked off last night for Kareem Hunt. Good to see that happen, and good to see you all this morning. Live on the YouTube feed.
You are we go, back?
I don't know. Right. I know you are. Your camera's
my camera's over. Red now, so that's good. Is yours red?
Green.
Green, so you're not on. The screen looks funny, though, because it's like me and then just a blank space, like a Taylor Swift song, right?
Well, that's okay. It's your show. Remember, the text line said it's not the Dusty Show.
You know. Yeah. Somebody last night on the broadcast, I think it was obviously the football broadcast, they said they were talking to Travis Kelce, and they said, Travis, how do you feel? He goes, I'm feeling 22, and I'm like, oh.
Lean into
it. I love it, man. It's just so good.
Lean into it. Bob, when was it over for you?
I think we just heard the play, right? That little lateral right there from Travis Kelce to Samaje Perine.
I'm shaking my head because I told him before the play, I said, I'm going to throw it to you so we can get in field goal range. And he underhand shoveled it across the entire field. So, I mean, it's like I'm talking to, like, Sterling. So, that's Travis, man. He's a special player, and as long as he does it and it works, man, no one's going to say anything.
Were those real laughs in the media room?
No, it's always fake media laughing. Like, the media is just such seals. Like, they'll laugh at anything.
Like the seal from Kiss from a Rose?
No, like the seal that catches, like, the hoop on its nose type of thing. Like, Andy, here's how it goes down. Andy, what are you going to do for the bye week, right? Alex and I were talking about this last night. Andy goes, well, I'm probably going to go eat a cheeseburger. Wasn't funny. It's just, that's who he is.
Yeah, I mean.
Andy, what was the name of that play that we saw with Travis and Perine? Well, there's no name to it. Are you sure it's not called funnel cake or fried cheese?
Cheese blanket.
I mean.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead back. Dusty,
right, Dusty,
back the F off, okay? The text line doesn't want it.
I was going to say that it was cool that Jason Kelce, after they interviewed Andy about that play, Jason was like, I'm not sure I buy it. He's like, I think that Travis may have just done that, which I could see.
Oh, no question. They do practice that kind of stuff. We've been hearing about 100%. For like the end of practices is when they kind of have their fun and they do their thing and, you know, whatnot. Like, if you weren't working on that in practice, you're not doing that at a game. You know where everybody's going to be. You're on that's. I know they want to make it look like, I'll give you an example, okay? Like our show. People think it's just all off the cuff and natural. A lot of preparation goes in. We make it look easy. We make it sound easy. That's why we're the best, right? even though Dusty talks over Mac. same goes for that football team. That was not an instinctual play. It was an instinctual play, but it was a play that they practiced, and they know that they're going to do something like that. He's looking right away. He understands where he is on the field, what the situation is. He sees Perine. They've practiced it. He knows he can trust that guy as a veteran. He's going to make that play. He's not going to line up offsides, right?
Right.
So you've got all that. I think at times when people are like, oh my God, look what just happened. Like, I think it takes away from the hard work that these dudes put in. Like, these guys work their asses off. That's why Andy Reid is the greatest coach in NFL history, because stuff like that, that looks like, oh my God, it just happened. It's like, yeah, we were working on that the third Tuesday of July when the rest of the NFL was picking dingleberries. Like, this is why the Chiefs are better than everybody else, because there isn't anything that's a surprise. Nothing catches them off guard, and they're ready for every single moment. And they embrace every moment, and they dominate these moments, man. Like, that's just who they are.
Almost had the sickest play of the year last night with Brian Cook's interception. I thought maybe he was going to, and I thought that's when it was originally over. If it was a touchdown, this is when I thought it was over.
Carson Steele is the running back. Chiefs in a power pistol look here. They will shift to Kelce. Kelsey's in a wildcat position. And to give it off to Worthy on the right side. Worthy sneaks into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City, on an RPO handoff from Travis Kelce. And lowering that shoulder and ducking under the defender. And the Chiefs go up 22-13.
Game over.
Andy, what was that play called? That's pork spare ribs with barbecue sauce. Like, is that the answer? Like, it's to the point now where, like, it's almost insulting.
Mm. What's the Chiefs' rookie record for touchdowns?
I don't know.
Worthy has 4 in 5 games.
That's amazing.
I just can't get over that. My buddy was talking to me about it last night. He's sitting there. He goes, that's 4 touchdowns for Worthy. I was like, is it? He goes, yeah, he had the 2 in the first game. Then he had the deep bomb last week, and then he had that this week. That's 4 touchdowns for Xavier Worthy as a rookie. I think Tyreek Hill might have had, don't quote me, Tyreek Hill might have had 9 his rookie year. Maybe he had 7.
There's just no way to figure that out. There's just no
internet. No internet. But I mean, when you don't even need Patrick Mahomes to score a touchdown, the game's over.
I mean, yeah, Patrick Mahomes, no touchdowns last night passing.
331 yards.
Like I said, it was like, I'm surprised Danan didn't come out of the booth and get receptions last night. Like that we were going back to the Wayback Machine, Juju Smith-Schuster, Kareem Hunt, and then you got Danan Hughes with a big touchdown reception for the Chiefs.
You hear them on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
Spitting hot Thursday fire. Nights at 6 during players only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danan Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Danan Hughes, spitting hot fire. It's brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. The Chiefs rookie record is 6 touchdowns. Xavier Worthy has 4.
All right.
Danan Hughes, what did you think about those Chiefs last night, my man?
What's going on, fellas? A good Tuesday morning. Happy Victory Tuesday morning. The game yesterday. Do we talk about the Royals game as well?
Oh, we'll get into it, yeah.
Huge.
Yep.
Yeah. But the Chiefs win. I thought it was a great attitude win, man. I thought from the beginning to the end, yeah, there were some things that we'd like to have back. But this team, this organization just has that ability to overcome any obstacles, overcome any negative plays or situations, and still provide entertainment.
Yep.
And wins. And I thought from the beginning, with the Saints coming in, you very rarely see a team win the coin toss and take the ball in the NFL. You always seem to see them defer, unless there's a weather situation or what have you. You defer until the second half. But they were trying to come in, and I said it on the broadcast, that seemed like they were trying to come in like a heavyweight boxing match and throw haymakers from the beginning. And as we've seen in boxing history, once those first couple of swings come out and then you get a chance to swing back, that's when things get real. And I thought this was a huge attitude win for the Chiefs, especially how they accomplished it.
You
running the ball, commitment to run, and just continuing to punch and punch and punch at the Saints and not really allow them much life during the game.
You know, you mentioned like a heavyweight boxing fight. Yeah, if you're Glass Joe, I mean, like that, that's kind of what they did last night. They just kind of went out there and like Glass Joe's dancing around, a couple of punches to the stomach, and they kind of withered away. I mean, that's who this Chiefs MO is. I mean, I'm going to say this, Dane, and I'm sure you're probably going to disagree with me because I tend to get a little bit hyperbolic, but maybe you're not. Win total aside, Super Bowl totals aside, mm-hmm. right? Andy Reid is the greatest head coach in NFL history, and I'll fight anybody to the death on that one.
Oh, I don't disagree with you.
Okay.
I mean, I know there are people out there that will say Don Shula and Bill Belichick, and I get it with the wins and then the Super Bowls, et cetera. But when you talk about in totality, in both organizations and winning and that surpassing, I believe he's up 2 on his total win total regards to his tenure at the Eagles and now with his tenure with the Chiefs, how he's done it, how he embraced the players, how the players speak about him, and how other coaches speak about him. And you guys have heard me say, you can tell a lot about a coach, his reputation, how highly regarded he is by the post-game handshake. And there's never a time when Andy Reid crosses the field, win or loss, rival or not, young coach or old coach, where there's any kind of disrespect, any kind of animosity, anything that happens. That tells you a lot about the coach, the quality of coach that you have. And then now you're tagging on these wins. You're going for an unprecedented three-peat. You have all of the, you know, the pressures of every team treating you like it's their Super Bowl, and all the bullets that come with that, and yet you start the season 5-0 after sustaining injuries to three of your top 5 offensive, offensive parts, offensive playmakers on this team, and you're still able to figure out ways to win in the NFL. Like, it is so exceptional. It's beyond anything that we could have imagined during the Todd Haley era or Romeo Crennel or whatever. Like, to have Andy Reid is truly, truly a gift.
You know, in this one stat to really knock this home, since Andy Reid has been here now in his 12th season, fellas, think about that. They've had a five-game winning streak in every season that Andy Reid has been head coach. That's the most consecutive seasons with a minimum of a five-game winning streak in NFL history. The second closest, like San Francisco and Indianapolis from back in the early 2000s and the 90s. Like, they're just doing things every week that rewrites the record books in this league.
Yeah, it's amazing. I got a chance to interview Kareem Hunt after the game. And, you know, I talked to him about, hey, you know, you getting 27 carries, and basically just a few weeks ago you were on your couch. It wasn't like you were with another team or had gone through training camp or OTAs. He's like, you're right. Like, I'm just getting my legs underneath me and feeling, you know, obviously great about his performance. But how about Andy Reid and Matt Nagy saying, you know what, we see more in you than maybe you see in yourself, Kareem, at this point. So we're going to give you the ball 27 times. And you know, you're going to rush for 100 yards, and the team's going to rush for 139 yards on the evening against a pretty darn salty Saints defense. I mean, like, that's the epitome of knowing how to lead men, is when you can get something out of them that they don't even realize that they have. And, you know, I'm looking at highlights here on SportsCenter and seeing the touchdown run by Xavier Worthy, and, like, how many people would think that, you know, a slight 170-pound receiver would line up in the backfield and run the ball. But that's how you catch teams off guard. And it's just amazing, the creativity. I know sometimes it can be a little frustrating. You consider that play, the interception by Colin Saunders. You'd love to have that play back. It didn't work for the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Not sure, you know, how that, you know, gets into our playbook, but how you're able to bounce back from that, the defense picking up the offense, and just doing whatever it takes to get the job done. Like, I'm just thoroughly impressed with this organization and how they show up every single week. Entertaining, because it is an entertainment game. It's a win and loss game, but it is an entertainment game. They keep everybody engaged, the Chiefs fans, the kingdom was faithful and loud. A part of the game, the 12th man was real. It was just an electric atmosphere.
Dana, I'm glad you wrapped the frustration thing, as we're talking to Dana Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver and now the color commentator for the Chiefs Radio Network. Dana, what's more frustrating from a former player, and seeing that the offense just seems to keep moving along with all the injuries, or having to go against Spags' defense and be a running back?
I don't know, man. You know, it's always tough for me to even talk about defenses in a positive light, but I got to give love to our Chiefs defense, to Spags, and what he's been able to install, and how they just continue. What's amazing to me is how we confuse great quarterbacks. And I'm not calling Derek Carr great, but at the same time, week after week, it seems like it doesn't matter whether it's Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, whoever. Like, we have that ability where they're like four or five plays at least where they look totally baffled. They look totally confused. They don't know what's going on. You got Derek Carr back there throwing back off his back foot, falling backwards when there's not a defender within 2 yards of him unnecessarily. He's just freaked out at every package that we're throwing at him. And it's just so impressive to watch and to do it with young guys. We're talking about Jalen Watson, Trent McDuffie, three-year guys. George Karloftis, third-year guy. Nazee Johnson. I mean, we're talking about players that are just young that you wouldn't think would be anchors of a team. And then to see what we're doing on offense to complement that, I mean, how many people, obviously, coming into the season, we wouldn't have been able to say it because these guys weren't even on the team. Juju Smith-Schuster and what we saw with Kareem Hunt. I mean, these guys showing up each and every week defensively, making the plays, putting pressure on opposing teams, and making them extremely uncomfortable and confusing.
Talk with Dana Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan. The baseball team won a pretty big game. And afterwards, I want to get your reaction as a former athlete to this comment from Jazz Chisholm.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
They just got lucky. When you're an athlete and you hear another athlete say that, your reaction is?
Yeah, everything was good up until that last point.
Right.
Like, everything is exactly that the things that you think of as a player. Yeah, it was just one game, and, you know, but the lucky part is what, you know, kind of digs in the craw of any player that has any kind of competitive juices. And the Royals, I believe, especially when you talk about where they were last year, losing over 100 games, and where they got to this year, then going on the road in Yankee Stadium, which is probably one of the most difficult baseball stadiums to play in. You and I are both from up there, so we know about that fan base and you know, just all the history there. And to play a game where they lose 6-5, where they had chances to win that game, and then to come back and win a game, like, you deserve more respect than that.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve more respect than that just by those two performances. And to add that lucky part, this little extra shot that I don't think will bode well for Jazz Chisholm.
There you go. He can join the Canoe Club. Shout out to Lee Summit for the Canoe Club, but now he can join the Canoe Club of booze. Kanan, I am interested here to ask you, did you at all have the Royals game on, like a tablet or anything? I know you're zoned in for the game to call it and everything like that, but did you have any sort of like updates going on, or how did you stay in tune with the Royals game last night during that Chiefs win?
Oh, absolutely. We were talking about it during the broadcast, mm-hmm. during commercials. We were looking at the phones. I think everybody in the booth had their phones on, watching, or at least getting the updates of the scores after Salvi's home run and then the consecutive singles to get things going and stretch the lead. Like, it was definitely a staple of conversation in the booth between Mitch and I, between the other guys as part of the radio crew. So, yeah, we were all in tune, and I think the fans, you heard on television, they were chanting "Go Royals" when the announcement came that we won the game. So everybody loves the Chiefs. This is the Chiefs kingdom, but at the same time, we also know the love for the Royals is at the high that a lot of people know about. So, like, that's what it is. That's what made yesterday great, the doubleheader. I had some friends and family in from New Jersey who are Saints fans and Yankees fans. So
that's a hell of a combination.
Yeah, I got to talk a little trash to them at the car after the game. You know, to win the doubleheader was special.
Dane and I have a question for you before we let you go and enjoy the bye week. Tougher matchup for an opposing offense, trying to stop Chris Jones just bull rushing an offensive line, or trying to get open against Trent McDuffie?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
I would say this. If you're trying to stop Chris Jones with one person, like they said in the movie Taken, good luck. But Trent McDuffie and his lockdown ability and the way he plays the game, physical enough, but still with great technique. I saw there was a route yesterday. It was a deep route down the sideline opposite the booth where the receiver, I want to say it was Rashid Shaheed, he ran a little out and go, and then he tried to stutter and bait Trent into getting some early contact down the field. And the way he was able to avoid that and still stay in his side pocket and force the incompletion, like, that play showed me something. And I know, you know, people will say, well, how can he be the best corner in the league and he's never had an interception?
Because they don't
That's
throw to him.
Why?
Yeah.
They don't throw to his side, and, like, he just covers guys. He's just a blanket guy, and his lower body, the way he's able to stay in great technique and not get too handsy down the field is just very impressive for a young player. Again, he's a third-year guy, and he's developed into one of the top shutdown corners in the league.
That's right. Dana, well, hey, go enjoy the bye week. Play a lot of golf for me. Take the time to do that. Get that handicap down, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday, hopefully getting ready for another Chiefs win after a bye.
Sounds good, fellas. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the Royals coming home. I don't know if I'll be able to make the game out at the K on Wednesday, but
I'm looking to get there on Thursday somehow. I'll find a ticket.
There you go, Dana. We'll see you out at Kauffman Stadium along with hopefully the rest of Kansas City getting out there to boo Jazz Chisholm. We'll have more coming up on him as the morning rolls along. But, I mean, God, do you say those kind of things after a game that you just got beat in?
Yeah. Dana Hughes brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I thought the text message said it right. Luck is getting called safe. It's stealing second when you're clearly out.
There you go.
Same guy. Eat your words. Welcome back to Kansas City. We'll see how you really see a city that has a real representation of what a Jazz is. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Kansas side, 35 southbound, still heavy. Earlier problem in Lenexa has cleared as we check that out on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras, but 35 southbound remains very slow. Approaching 635, you hit delays and it just crawls down past 75th Street. Alan Carr, 96.5, The Fan traffic.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Having a great time.
If you want to be.
Loving the fun.
If you want to see all of the excitement. This is the place and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day. Come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens. Come on and see.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Damn right. This is where you want to be for Royals, Chiefs, and everything here. Baseball with the Royals, followed up by Tech 9 and Chiefs Kingdom. I don't know how you'd like to spend your day, but you can spend it with us because we're going to get you the day as fast as humanly possible. And then you'll get Cody and Gold. Then you'll get that guy named Carrington. He'll get you through 6 o'clock.
What's he going to say about Kelsey?
I don't know.
I don't know, Rob. I think Kelsey's washed. Yeah, those 70 yards, Carrington. He's got to do at least 75.
I'll tell you, he might be washed. Aaron Judge.
Oh, you think? Great regular season player. Terrible postseason play.
As we can dive into everything we want to talk about Royals here in general for the first two games of the ALDS, who is your guys' MVP? Bob, take the stand.
Yeah, it's no question. Don't interrupt me, Dusty. Just so you can only interrupt Mac. For me, no question. It's Garrett Hampson, he says. Like that. Garrett who? Garrett Hampson is my MVP through two games. The guy's 3 for 3, 3 singles, 3 RBIs. Like, hey, give it up for Garrett Hampson. Throw one back for GH, man. Let's go. The Hamp Man.
You know, it's weird. It's like somebody on this show said that this series would have an unsung hero. I don't know. Me? You?
Garrett Hampson.
Me? You? Unsung hero? Garrett Hampson? Weird.
You could go Tommy Pham.
There's a few.
You could go Yuli Gurriel, doing it without trash cans, Gurriel, which is great.
40 years old.
How about that guy?
Good for him.
Right? What were you doing at 40, Bob? Eating pizza. Yuli Gurriel is out here scoring runs. And then Michael Garcia as well.
That's my series MVP.
I mean, my goodness, let's go.
I mean, if Bobby Witt and the rest of the guys at the starting lineup could actually do something. I mean, Garcia's getting on base, 5 for 9 at bat right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's doing good.
What he needs to do.
Did we not call for him to be the leadoff guy like earlier in the year? Like,
I know
like,
you did.
Give me Garcia at the leadoff spot, man. I love him at the top of the lineup. And, you know, Alex was telling me the story last night about him in Venezuela, like living for these big moments and playing these big style games. Like, it just fits him, right? And he's playing so many big games in winter ball, and he's playing in big games now, and the moment isn't too big. Like, everybody wants to use stats with me with Garcia. Well, his stats aren't that. I don't care. I just know when I watch him play, I feel like he's going to do something, and when he gets on, he's instant offense.
Mm. My Royals MVP is not a Royals player.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's Aaron Judge.
There you go.
Yes.
He has created a black hole in the middle of that lineup.
Huge.
And it's like, again,
What was it? Game one, he came up 2-on, nothing happened. Came up last night,
same
2-on,
situation,
nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Strike three, a swing and a miss.
Yeah,
that's how it worked. My other one is my other MVP that might be the series MVP overall after it's all said and done is this guy.
Still feels the same that we're gonna win it. You know, I don't feel like anybody feels any different. You know, we're gonna go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
If there's one thing you can do to a team that is playing with house money, is to just wake up a sleeping giant.
Yeah, what are you doing?
That sleeping giant might just be Bobby Witt and Vinny Pasquantino when they get back here in Kansas City on Wednesday night at 6:08. I can't wait to be there in the sea of blue as the cruise ship comes back to Kansas City. It docks on the bay here in the Royals Kingdom, which is now flooded with red and blue waters because the Chiefs are 5-0. The Royals are tied with the Yankees. They steal one in New York. They've got two in Kansas City where they're better at home than they are away. They've done exactly what you wanted them to do. Jazz Chisholm, thank you. Thank you very much. Because as the text line alluded to, you, sir, if you want to talk about luck and you want to use the actual definition of luck, the Royals not win that game through luck last night. No, no, no.
No, that was a well-played baseball
game.
The
Yankees won their first game with luck when you were called safe at second and not out, and your run ended up being the game-winning run. I can sit in my own Royals tears and cry about all I want, but I don't have to because the Royals tied that series last night in New York. They were the better team. Cole Reagans wasn't his best. He had a lot of pitches in the first two innings, but then ended up getting out of every single jam that he had put himself into, and then the bullpen did its thing. The lower part of the order did its thing. Michael Garcia, Max, it's series MVP, goes 4-for-5. Look, there's no luck involved in that game last night.
No.
But if you want to add that sort of thing and you want to keep that audio, because we'll play that audio all day today. We'll play that audio all day tomorrow, and you will be in the Cano Hall of Fame where you get booed. Welcome to it. Yankees fans, stay away. Royals fans, boo that son of a buck every time he comes up to bat. And when he comes up to bat, play that song by Def Punk, Up All Night to Get Lucky.
Yeah, ooh, right. Yes. Yeah, that would be good.
That's what I want to hear from the PA. We're up all night to get lucky. We're up all night to get lucky. Your comments are yucky. The Royals ain't yucky. You got to backtrack, bud.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what the luck is that he was talking about last night. Because if you just kind of go through the game last night, that was just a well-played baseball game by the Royals, right? And maybe you're saying lucky because Bobby was 0-for and made an error in the field and they still won the game. And if you tell anybody that before the game, they probably think the Royals lose that game. If that's the luck you want to talk about. But Salvador Perez hit a home run. That's not luck. Mm-hmm. That was a 2-0 pitch. He's gone. Timely hitting, good base running. For the most part, decent defense last night. And then, you know, the bullpen right now is becoming a strength of this organization. It's no longer the weakness. It's no longer the redheaded stepchild running around out there. Like, it is a strength right now of this organization. And I think we've got to embrace it as much and understand that when you go to the bullpen now, you're not ending the game. You're going to the bullpen and you're finishing this thing off because really since the middle of September, what have they given up? 2 runs, 3 runs or something like that? It's been remarkable with what this bullpen has done. So that's not luck. That's kind of figuring things out. I don't even call Jazz Chisholm's play at second base on Saturday night luck. I call that Major League Baseball go, we need the Yankees to win, so we're going to do whatever we can to make the Yankees win. That's why you can't let it in the hands of the umpires over these next two games, because if you allow the umpires to get involved, and when I say umpires, I mean New York for the review. You let New York get involved with reviews, they're going to side with the Yankees. So you got to go out there and just win the game like the Royals did last night. Wasn't anything flashy. Wasn't anything wow. It was just a great baseball win last night. That wasn't luck last night. That was just a hard-fought baseball victory.
We'll talk to Vern about the Bobby Witt situation where he just needs to get out of New York, I think, is the option we need. Getting back in Kansas City and maybe things will turn around. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster's patented MyQ technology is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. Find Josh Vern or your Royals insider here next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.